It's been a week since we last met in this way, so let's remind ourselves what we are doing on a Sunday when it comes to the Word of God. We began our current journey then in Romans 5 and verse 3. So let's turn quickly to Romans 5 and verse 3, just to refresh our memories then. Paul is laying out this stepping stone, I guess, idea. So Romans 5, verse 3, he's just told us that we have peace with God, that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and that we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And then verse 3, not only that, but we also glory or we rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So I'm sure all of us know, don't we, that the word there in verse 3, tribulations, we are interpreting that word because it has that meaning. We are interpreting it as stress. So stress or pressure. So what Paul writes is that we know that pressure leads to perseverance. And then in turn, perseverance produces character. And then finally, character leads to hope. And then Paul rounds everything off, excuse me, with verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the theme is then from stress to hope. And pursuing that theme, we've been for the past number of weeks in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And both this morning and this evening, we'll take another look at this verse. So turn with me then to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So we've made our way through this verse then, and do you remember that we have a title for this verse, and the title is God is Faithful. And we'll see in the next few weeks how in Paul's first letter that we have in the New Testament to this church, he will say to them, God is faithful, in the very first chapter. And we'll be taking a look at what that means. So here again then, he's introducing God as the faithful God. And Paul sets God above the temptations that we experience. Or better still, what Paul does is he puts our temptations right into the context of the faithfulness of God. So he doesn't separate out temptations and plonks them down on their own, but he wants us to think about the temptations we experience in the context of who God is. And this is how we go from stress to hope, by putting the experiences we have into the context of who God is. Now, do you remember, in verse 13 here, the word temptation is different from the one in Romans 5. This word here, it's a much bigger word, and it can mean, first of all, sinful temptations. But it can also mean, and that's the view we have, it can mean pressures again, or testings, or provings, if you like. So what have we said so far then about verse 13? How many of you remember or are able to keep some of what we said about this verse alive in your own thoughts? Well, take a look at the first phrase. And in many ways, I think this first phrase is absolutely vital If any of us are to learn the journey from stress to hope, nothing we experience, we will ever experience anything that is not common to man. Do you see it there now in the very first phrase of verse 13? And the more I think about this phrase, I know we've talked about it at least twice, the more to me I think it's so important. Because all of us think, and it's not wrong, but we tend to think of the uniqueness of our experience. That no one else is experiencing what we do. Now, we all think like that under moments of stress. It seems to us that we are on our own, that no one else can share in or understand our experiences. So, we began then with the first phrase in verse 13. What is common to all men? And then what we did, we took the middle phrase, God is faithful, we've seen. We then thought about how God is right there in the midst of our stresses. He's right there as we go through the pressures and the demands of life. And he will not allow any of us to be tested more than we are able to be. Now, this was last Sunday that we thought about this phrase. And it's an idea of a God intimately involved, right there, in the heart of our experiences, preventing certain pressures from ever reaching us. And then he's in command of the pressures that we do experience. So it's not God now at some distance. It's not God remote and unmoved by our experiences. Instead, it's the idea of God, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, it's God getting his hands dirty, right there at the heart of what we are going. And he's in command. He is control. He has authority over the pressures and the testings that his people experience. And he refuses some, and he allows others. Now today, what we'll do is this. This morning, let's take the phrase, but with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape. That's this morning's idea. And then this evening, we'll finish off the verse with the remaining phrase, that you may be able to bear it. So tonight then, we're going to look at the idea of perseverance and how God's purpose is always to lead us forward. This morning, we're going to look at this wonderful idea of a way of escape. Do you see it there in the verse? It's almost a unique phrase in the New Testament. It's referred to in one other place, but in such a way that you'd never guess. So what's this way of escape then that Paul is telling us about here? So let's read the phrase again. With the temptation, he will also make the way of escape. But let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Lord, for many of us then, we are knowing pressure. And Lord, it's a surprise just how much pressure some are under right now. And Lord, we have some knowledge of the pressures that some are under. Lord, in our notice sheet today, there's reference to those who are in hospital, those who are unwell and unable to attend. But Lord, it may well be that there are pressures that others know nothing about. But Lord, you do. There is not one pressure that we experience of which you are unaware. And so you are able then this morning to address each of us according to our need. So we ask our God that you would open our minds and our hearts, even as hot as it is right now, that we may be able to focus on what you are saying to us. So we commend ourselves then, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this phrase then, a way of escape. There are two ways to understand it. I'm going to say just a brief thing about the first way, and then I want to spend our time looking at the second way in which you can understand this phrase. So do you remember we've said that the word temptation can first of all refer to a specific temptation to sin. Now, all of us know that we are sinners, and you and I will always be sinners. We are sinners who are loved by God, and we are sinners who are saved by God, and we will remain sinners until the day we die. So we mustn't lose sight of the fact that God showed us his love for us when we were sinners. So there's a sense then in which we will remain sinners. But there are times, aren't there, when you and I will experience a specific temptation to do something. One particular thing that is sinful. And it may be, I don't want to know, but it may be that you and I have our own particular weaknesses. And there are things that may be a struggle for me that wouldn't be for you. And there may be that there are things that you struggle with that would not tempt me at all. There may be things that we are tempted to do, but there also may be things that we are tempted to feel. Perhaps we are tempted on occasions to feel bitterness, or we may be tempted to feel angry or hurt by other people. Well, if you take this word temptation then to mean a temptation to a specific thing that we shouldn't do or feel or say, what Paul is telling us here is that God, and it's an amazing thought, God is in control of the situation in which we experience that temptation. So if you like, the very moment when there's in our heads a thought to do something, in that moment, God is present. And he's present with us. He's allowed that moment. And he, along with that moment, will provide a way of escape. So let's think about an Old Testament character. And I'm not going to name this character. I want you to identify him for yourself. Last Sunday, we had Cain. Do you remember Cain? And Cain was an illustration of what we've seen in verse 13. He will not tempt you more than you are able to bear. So Cain last week then, he said to God that his punishment was more than he was able to bear. So God placed the mark of Cain. And that mark was God's guarantee to Cain that he would never be burdened beyond what he was able to bear. So Cain illustrates that phrase here in verse 13. Who do you think it is then who illustrates this principle that along with the temptation, God provides a way of escape? I want you to think of a character in the Old Testament who escaped literally from a moment of temptation. That's the idea here. But I want you to be very careful, because there's a danger in this interpretation, isn't there? So here's the idea then. You're being tempted to do something that you think is wrong. God is in thee. God is over all. God is in command. God has brought about this moment. And God provides a way for you to escape that moment. That moment of temptation. Now, what's the danger then? The danger here is to say, okay then, if in every moment of temptation, God has provided a way for me to escape it, how awful am I when I fail and give in to it? How much more guilty should I be when I actually then fail? I've got no excuse because God had provided me a way of escape and I didn't take it and I have failed. Now, that's the wrong way to understand this verse. The right way is this. How wonderful is it that when temptations come, God is present to enable me to escape them? So the right way to view this phrase is the idea that you now know that in every moment when you're tempted to do something that you shouldn't, God will provide you with an alternative, with a different way, a way out. So you're encouraged by it, not condemned by it. So I still haven't told you who the Old Testament character is. I don't think I will. Let's see whether we come up with the idea ourselves. So back to the phrase then. With a temptation, God will also make the way of escape. What's the second way of understanding this phrase? So it's this way. I want you to imagine then that you're being tested. You're having a very testing time. You're under pressure. And I want you to particularly think now that you're under such pressure that your faith is being tested. Now, pressure like this can come from all sorts of directions. What Paul is thinking about specifically is pressure as a result of trials, heartaches, problems. He's thinking especially of that then. Adversity. That's what he's primarily has in mind. Things are going badly wrong for you. So you're under a period of pressure. And the great danger is that pressure is coming down on your faith. So your faith is under strain. Now, for some of you, the pressure might come from friends. The pressure might come from society in general. It doesn't matter where it comes from. At one time or another, each of us will be under such pressure that we are feeling it, we are experiencing it in our faith. Now, what Paul is saying here is this. At those times, God will ensure that you have the resources to cope. So that phrase right down there at the bottom of verse 13, a way of escape, it can refer to coping resources or ways of managing. That's the idea here then. So along with the pressure, God will provide you with the means to manage and the means to cope and the resources to go on so that you continue. And as he says at the end of the verse, that you may be able to bear it. So do you see the idea then? God gives two things, and I can't apologize for the first. God gives the pressures. But along with the pressures, He gives the resources so that you are able to bear it. Two things in the sovereign purposes of God. So if you've managed to grasp this idea, hopefully now you are asking a question. Okay then, so let's imagine that you're asking this question. You're saying to yourself, okay, so God then, Neil, what you're saying is God commands the pressures. God allows some to come our way and he won't allow others. And there are many pressures God never allows us to experience. And we don't know about them because God has prevented them from ever reaching our doors. But he does allow certain pressures, testings, or stresses, he does allow them into our experience. But along with them, along with each one of them, God provides us with the resources that we need. So, here's the question then. What are the resources that God provides us with? And what I want to do is I want to list as many of the resources as I can. And I want to expand a little bit on the last two of them. And the last two are important, I think, but perhaps a little bit more challenging. So what are these resources then that we have given to us by God? Let's start with some of the big ideas in the New Testament. The first is we have the resource of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the resources of Jesus at the right hand of God, praying for us and feeling for us. In many ways, that's the most important of all. And so what you and I know is that whatever pressure we feel and whatever stress we experience, in the plan of salvation, God sent his Son so that his Son may also know the same stress and the same pressure and the same temptations that you and I know, that Christ experienced them, he overcame them, he returned to heaven, and in heaven then, he feels for us and prays for us. Now, don't get too hung up about the idea, but Christ prays for you when you are under pressure, when you are feeling the strain, when things are tightening around you, Christ prays for you. And he is praying for you in a way that flows from his own experiences and his own sympathy. And the wonderful thing about this idea of Christ praying for us is that his prayers are responding to the strains and the pressures and the demands and the responsibilities of the moment that we are experiencing. So here's the first resource. Christ, who will never leave us, never forsake us, who is upholding us by the word of his power, prays for us when we are under that pressure. And then what Paul tells us in Romans 8. We are also, when under pressure, think of the context now of Romans 8, we are also being prayed for by the Holy Spirit himself. Now, I find those verses in Romans 8 about the Holy Spirit amazing verses, because what Paul is saying to us there is that outside of our awareness, in ways that we've no idea about, the gift of the Holy Spirit given to every believer, the Spirit of God prays for us when we are under the pressures and the trials of life. And what Paul says is that the Spirit of God then is lifting us up to God with a perfect knowledge of who we are and what God's purpose for us is. So we are being prayed for then in the presence of God by his Son, and we are being prayed for in the midst of the trials by the Holy Spirit given to us by God himself. So these are the big ideas, aren't they? Let's have a few more big ideas. If you look at 2 Corinthians 12, why did we read this earlier? The resources that we are provided with when under pressure is the grace of God. So, come on, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12. We read it earlier. And you know, don't you, as well as I do, the wonders of verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now it may be, let's see, that we need to spend more time on these verses here in 2 Corinthians 12. Because the idea is this: God has brought Paul into an experience of weakness. And it's deliberate. So God, in his providence, brings Paul into this moment when he finds something unbearable. We don't know what it is. It's the messenger from Satan. But Paul describes himself here as in an agony of heart. He can't take it any longer. And so, feeling in this way, he goes to God. And in a deliberate echo of Christ in the garden, he prays three times. So here's Paul identifying with Christ. Just as Christ prayed three times that he be spared the cross, Paul prays three times that this thing, whatever it is, be taken away from him. Now, let me just pause you. Some of you feel, don't you, that you shouldn't be asking God to help you when you're under pressure, that there's something selfish about praying for yourself when things have gone wrong. Well, here's Paul doing exactly that. And then he has this wonderful revelation from Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. And that moment changes everything for Paul. In that moment, he goes from a man who can't stand it any longer to a man who wants more of it. He wants more weaknesses and trials. Well, I can't understand that myself. But he does, doesn't he? Because he wants to know the grace of God. So grace is sufficient in the trials. Two more, and then we'll do these last two. So, what are the resources God gives us? He gives us the ministry of his word, so that we have our Bibles in our hands. And then, these last two, we have the fellowship of the saints, and we have the knowledge that we build up in our experience. So let's say a bit more about both. Part of the resources God gives us is the fellowship of the saints. Can I put it in a more kind of prosaic manner? It seems to me, do you agree, that we often think about church on a Sunday in terms of wearing our best. You know, we wear our best clothes. But often, don't we, also think that we've got to be at our best in order to go to church. That when we're having a tough time, or when things are going wrong, we stay away. And we all do it. We stay away the very times when we need to be there. And part of the resources God has given you to help you cope with the stress and the pressure and the demands of your life is the fellowship of the saints. And so we should all make a matter of priority coming together, because that's where God will minister to us his grace and his word. His spirit will minister when we come together. Now, do you agree with me that so often we think church is the last place we want to be? And it's the last place we want to be when we don't feel well, or we're having a tough time, or we feel exhausted, or we're under pressure. And we make decisions, don't we? And we decide that because we're under pressure, we'll stay away and perhaps give ourselves a morning in. Or we'll stay away because we can't face people and we don't want them to see us as we are. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I am not emphasizing attendance for its own sake. But I am saying part of the resources God is making available to you under the stress and the pressure of your life is what we are doing here right now. Because we come together, and as we do so, God is hearing us, ministering to us, upholding us, strengthening us, enabling us, speaking to us. So if we're having a tough time and we think, oh, I can't go, then we are cutting ourselves off from the very thing which is part of God's resources given to us to enable us to be. So are you hearing me right? I'm saying it, I hope, in the right way. And it's a bit sad if we feel we can't go because we're not at our best. And I'll acknowledge sometimes we are put off from coming because people can be a bit unconcerned and a bit unsympathetic. And there are times when we feel we've got to be at our best. That's a shame. When we're at our worst, when we're at our lowest, when we hurt the most, when we suffer the most, is when we most need to come together. And we most need to be present here, together, in the company of our God, hearing him speak to us. Because this is part, as I say, of how God enables us to cope. So the fellowship of the saints. And then lastly, let's come back to Romans 5 and verse 3. So wherever you are in your New Testament, turn back to Romans 5 and verse 3. And do you remember, going from step to step in this verse is the word knowledge. So I'll read it to you again. We also glory or rejoice in tribulation, knowing. So we know that tribulation produces perseverance. We know that perseverance produces character. And we know that character leads to hope. Anyone remember what the word knowledge means? There's so many Greek words for knowledge. The one that we have here means to know how something works, or to see something from the inside. So you're having a detailed knowledge of something. So I want to end with this thought. What I'm trying to do on a Sunday is build up our knowledge so that when we're under stress, when we're under pressure, we know certain things. And some of the knowledge is theological. So we know about God, and God is in control, and God is allowing and he's not allowing, and God is at the heart of my experience. So we've got theological knowledge. But part of what we're going to learn, part of what our New Testament tells us, is we need practical knowledge. So that in the moment of stress, we know certain strategies. We've learned certain ways of coping. And I hope to build our practical knowledge as we go through this series together. But what I want to do is give you a hint of the practical knowledge that our New Testament gives to us. So, sorry to do this to you, but turn back to 1 Corinthians 10 and this phrase in verse 13. A way of escape. There's practical knowledge here available to us in this wonderful expression. In fact, it's only one word in the Greek language. And the idea is this: when under pressure, what we need to know is we need to see the bigger picture. When we're under stress, all we see is that stress. Nothing else. We see it. It's in front of us. It confronts us. It looms large in our gaze. And it's right there dominating everything in that moment. That's what stress is like, what pressure is like. It seems insurmountable. It's solid and enormous, standing right in front of us. I'm sure you see that, don't you, in your own experience. And I think it was on Monday in prayer meeting, Maureen reminded us of the Israelites in the desert when they came to the Red Sea. It seemed impossible. It seemed huge. This terrifying thing that there was no way through. Now, this is the practical idea. The practical idea is this: take a moment, step back, and see the bigger picture. That's in the idea of a way of escape. We are so caught up in the pressures and the horrors and the tragedies. Take a moment and step back and see the bigger picture. This word, way of escape, it means to look ahead. It means to see further on. See beyond what's right in front of you at the moment. Step back, see beyond. That's the idea here of practical knowledge. So whatever pressure you're under, there's all these resources that God is making available to us. We've tried to spell them out this morning. And what we'll do tonight, we'll see that all of this is available to us, all these resources, that we may be able to be. So let's pray.